Good morning, church.
Good morning.
Welcome and thank you for joining us for our 11th Sunday of Pentecost. It's great to have so many familiar faces here, some guests. We are so grateful for the opportunity to worship and praise God together. A few announcements before we get started. Our next Youth Sunday will be Sunday, August 22nd. I apologize for not informing the kids about our toys, but that will be the Sunday you can bring your toys to church this month on the 22nd. And we'll have an outdoor activities for the kids after worship and a chance for them to play outside and gather and have a little fun. Don't forget, next week already on the horizon, we'll be worshiping at Shenrun Village at 10:30. Please bring something comfy to sit in. There will be an optional covered dish potluck after worship. So we hope you can join us for that, as we always enjoy that worship service to be on the historic Shenrun Village and celebrate the first place that Moravians worship in Ohio. Food on the Fly is also this week, Wednesday, August 11th. So if you can support that from 4:30 to 6, that is greatly appreciated. And we continue to have consistent numbers because of how many people come out and support that. The Joint Board just continues to encourage you to pay attention to updates on COVID policy. We remind you that the situation that we are in as a country and as a church is dynamic. So the last changes we were able to make a few months ago were to relax things because we were in a hill. Things were great. Now we're looking more like we're heading towards a valley. So please pay attention to updates that come out. I don't have anything to share with you today, but just continue to keep our nation in prayer, our church in prayer, and our leadership in prayer as we make decisions that serve the best of our congregation. That's really what we're trying to do, is make sure people are healthy, happy, and able to praise God in whatever way possible. That's all I have for announcements at this time, but please stand and extend the right wave of fellowship. Morning. You may be seated. Our watchword for the week is John 6, verse 47. Jesus said, "Very truly I tell you, whoever believes has eternal life." Amen. hear from Scripture.
The first scripture is from the Ephesians 4:25 through 5:2. Therefore, each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to his neighbor, for we all are members of one body. In your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry, and do not give the devil a foothold. He who has been stealing must steal no longer, but must work doing something useful with his own hands, that he may have something to share with those in need. Do not let any unwholesome come talk out of your mouth, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, and anger, brawling, and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. Be imitators of God, therefore, as dearly loved children, and live a life of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. And next we have John 6:41-51. At this, the Jews began to grumble about him because he said, "I am the bread that came down from heaven." They said, "It is not Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know. How can he now say, 'I came down from heaven'?" "Stop grumbling among yourselves," Jesus answered. "No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up at the last day. It is written in the prophets, 'They will all be taught by God.' Everyone who listens to the Father and learns from him comes to me. No one has seen the Father except the one who is from God. Only he has seen the Father. I tell you the truth, he who believes has everlasting life. I am the bread of life. Your forefathers ate the manna in the desert, yet they died. But here is the bread that comes down from heaven, which a man may eat and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. With this bread is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world."
Amen. Thanks be to God. At this time, we turn our hearts and our minds to a time of prayer and a time of reflection. Those of you that haven't worshiped with us before, what we do in these COVID times for our prayer concerns is we share whatever public prayers we can share at this time, and then we take some time in silent reflection to view some prayers that we have on our slides. For those of you who are joining us from the comfort of your home, that is a great time to go to our weekly prayer chain or to spend some time personally conversing with God. So in our prayers that we can share with you, and we continue to offer prayers of sympathy and resurrection hope to the family of Dave Festi, whose life was celebrated on Friday. He fought a courageous battle after a car accident for weeks, but a celebration of life was held for him on Friday. Dave was a great friend of the Martins and a great friend to many, and he will be dearly missed. We also offer prayers of sympathy and resurrection hope to the family of Paula Lorenz, who passed away suddenly last Saturday after following an unexpected illness. She is a sister of Janet West's daughter-in-law. We also continue to pray for our nation and our world in the fight against COVID-19 and all the variants that are involved. We pray for many places in our countries that are hot spots, thinking especially of the states in the South right now, who are getting hit very heavily. And we just continue to pray for all those who continue to courageously stand as first responders to help out, even after 16, 17 months. They are still willing to be on the front lines for each and every one of us. We are grateful for that. We also offer prayers for Bill Yu, who is in Union Hospital at this time. We also ask for prayers for our youth camping trip, for our confirmation classes, and for kids a little older who are going with us after church from Sunday to Tuesday. So 19 of us will go into the woods. Hopefully 19 of us come out on Tuesday morning. but we are really looking forward to it. I think it's going to be a fun weekend. Also, prayers of joy. Brock and Samantha Stafford were wed last Saturday as well. So we celebrate with them as they enter life as a newly married couple. And a couple big milestones in our congregation this past week. We celebrate with Ross Waldo, who celebrated his 40th birthday this past... What's that? Oh, yeah. You know, 40 is a great milestone because you hit that age when you hear a player in the major leagues or NFL and they're 40 years old and they talk about what a miracle that they're still standing and still able to participate. You are a miracle, Ross. There you go. And then somebody else will be celebrating another terrific milestone. Don and Becky will be celebrating their 50th anniversary on the 14th. So you guys are kind of between two Sundays, so we're preparing people for an even bigger celebration next Sunday. But congratulations to the two of you as you celebrate 50 wonderful years of marriage. Let us take some time in silence and reflect on what we uplift to God.
Thank you.
Let us come to God in prayer. Gracious God, we come before you and we are thankful to be gathered as your body of Christ, called by you individually, but called together as a body to serve, to pray, to worship. We are so grateful for that. God, as we feel the sunshine beaming in through the windows, help us to feel your love in our hearts every single day. Because we know in this life, sometimes it can be a struggle. And we see so many people who are hurting or in pain, so many family and friends waiting on surgeries, waiting on difficult circumstances, not knowing where their next meal is coming from, trying to deal with their mental health challenges that have arisen. Help each and every person. Help them to know that whatever struggle or battle they face, they are not alone. They are surrounded by a compassionate God and loving disciples. So help us to truly be your hands and feet whenever we can. And we also ask that you pray for our youth going out into the woods. We realize so much of your ministry was spent outside of the sanctuary. Help us each to remember that. Every time we encounter a beautiful garden, or we walk past a beautiful scene, or see a beautiful sunset, help us to remember that's not an accident. That is the fingerprint of God. So help all of us pay attention to the fingerprints of God in our life each and every day. In your name we pray. Amen. At this time, we turn our attention to our offering. We are not passing an offering plate back and forth, but we continue to give thanks to so many people who give online. There is an offering plate in the back for anyone who would like to make a donation after worship, but we continue to look for ways to give spiritually, emotionally, and faithfully. So let us give of our offerings to God and do so by signifying for rising for our offertory. Please rise. Pray together the prayer of dedication. Bread of life, help us to invest our time, talents, and gifts in things that sustain our faith in Christ and the well-being of our neighbors. Amen. You may be seated. We now turn our attention to our children's chat today. We'll do things a little bit differently today. All right, I'm gonna ask for some volunteers. I need a parent and child who's willing to volunteer. It looks like John and Tyler, you're gonna come up here, you're gonna be my volunteers. So we're gonna talk about one of my favorite games. Who here loves to play Jenga? Let me see some show of hands. One of my favorite games we love to play in our household. All right. So our first task is I'm going to ask John and Tyler. Brandon, you can help too. We absolutely can help. You're both going to be my managers right now. So John, I'm going to ask you to put this Jenga set back up as fast as you can. And then Tyler and Brandon, I want you to time him, okay? So on the count of three, you're going to start timing him. One, two, three, go. We'll see how long it takes them to do six rows. No pressure, John. Nobody's watching. Is that six? One more. All right, what do you get on that? How long was that? 34 seconds. All right, Tyler and Brandon, I need you to come here. We're gonna try this again. Hold on. Brandon, you gotta knock them all over for me. You're good at that, right? There we go. All right. So we're gonna try this again, but we're gonna add a caveat. I'm gonna take my microphone off. We do that?
Wait.
So what I want you to do. All right, John, will you be willing to try for a second time, try to get the two girls for us? All right, boys, count them in. 1, 2, 3, go.
1, 2, 3, 4.
All right, let's try that again, John. I don't want to cause an accident. Let's try that one more time. All right, that's good. Go ahead and count them in again. Ready? We'll try one last time.
3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12.
Oh, man, you got knocked down again. So, all right, here's the question. I'll raise this to the kids in the congregation. You can build it up right now. You go for it. So how far do you think John would be able to beat his record with Brandon and Tyler smashing his Jenga set down? No, why not? Why can't he do that, Riley? It'd be counterproductive. He couldn't get as far as he wants. And actually, hold on. I'm going to knock them all down one time. I want the three of you to build it together and see how quickly you can do it. This is your last challenge. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15. No pressure, guys. 16, 17, 18. There we go. Just keep stacking. 19, 20. 21, is that 6? That's 6 right there. All right, stop. So they got 22. They beat their record by 12 seconds by working together. So what I want you to remember is we use the Jenga set to illustrate, because today we're talking about words. We're talking about building people up. And we can use our words to do one of two things. We can build them up, just like John, Tyler, and Brandon did when they were working together, or we can tear them down. And so that's why our words have power. And we're going to talk about that as Christians, we are called to build each other up and not tear each other down. And so Jenga gives us a real, tangible reminder of that. So when you're upset about something, I want you guys to do me a favor. Picture a Jenga set in your head and think about what you're going to say to the person you're mad about and ask yourself, am I building that person up? Or Brandon, swat it down. Or am I tearing them down, right? All right, Brandon's got his perfection right there, so he's good. All right, let's have a moment of prayer. Gracious God, we come before you and we thank you for the kids in our lives and continue to instill in them and remind them that they are called to be built up and build up others. So help us as kids and adults to picture a Jenga set in our minds when we get angry or upset. And to remember, no matter how hard it is, to keep building people up around us. In your blessed and gracious name we pray. Amen. Thank you all very much. Let's give a round of applause to our volunteers. You can leave that right there. I think that looks pretty good. I'll leave our box down. I don't know if we have the express written consent of the Jenga company to advertise their logo on our tree. I'm just kidding. Let's have a moment of prayer as we welcome in God's message today. God, we ask that you open our hearts, our minds, and our ears to what you have to say and just continue to help us to listen, to be the ones that are truly willing to sit next to our Savior and hear what he has to say to us to inspire us and call us to action. In your blessed and gracious name we pray. Amen. So we're going to start our message today talking about relationship and marital advice. So I'm going to ask all of you to put on your Dr. Phil, your Dr. Donahue. I don't know who the big popular doctor now is, Dr. Ricker. I'm sure there's somebody out there who's on all the TV shows right now. And I'm going to ask you a question. Those of you that have your whiteboards, pull them out right now. What is the best marriage or relationship advice you've ever received? So if you're a married couple, you can talk about that. If you're not married, you can talk about just friendship and other things. What are the best friendship or marriage advice you've ever received? Take a minute to do that. I'm interested to see these responses. And I see some people consulting their spouses first. I think that's incredibly wise. And there is the first from somebody who's about to be married 50 years in less than 10 days. The wife is always right. There we go. All right, let's see some other people. Never stop dating. I like that one. Choose your battles. Don't make everything an essential. Yes, dear. We have some common group thinking over here in the back. Don't do anything at the beginning that you're unwilling to do for the rest of your marriage. Absolutely. I think that's a good reminder. Yes, dear, she is always right. And we have an engaged young man learning these lessons from 90 years of marriage experience. What's Tiff got? Listen. Absolutely. I think that's a great marital and a great friendship advice. Listen to one another. And the one that we have for us in Scripture today, you know it from Ephesians, I'm sure you've heard it, never go to bed angry. And that might be one of the most popular pieces of advice you hear as a couple. How many of you have heard that one? Never go to bed angry. Yeah, almost everyone has heard that one. And it's a popular one. It's one that pastors always love to go to in premarital counseling. Let me share some of the favorites that I read this week in an article inspired by Christian blogger Dave Willis on NewJerseyBride.com. These were some of his top on his list. Make laughter the soundtrack of your marriage. In every argument, remember there isn't a winner or a loser. Remember that marriage is not 50-50. Divorce is 50-50. Be your spouse's biggest encourager, not their biggest critic. And I thought a lot about those words, not just in the context of my spouse, but as a parent, as a teacher, as a leader. I want to be my child's biggest encourager, not their biggest critic. I want to be my student's biggest encourager and not their biggest critic. And the top one that they shared was choose to love each other even when you struggle to like each other. Choose to love each other even when you struggle to like each other. And there was on this list, this popular blogger listed at least 50 pieces of sound advice. And never go to bed angry did not make that list, and I think I know why. Every time I hear that advice, don't go to bed angry, I hear Chris Traeger's voice from Parks and Rec going through my head. Great advice, impossible to follow, but great advice. And that's how I feel about that advice. Has any couple here or any friendship or relationship ever been able to live that advice? Have you truly never gone to bed angry? Have you never spent a night on the couch where you're on opposite ends of it, opposite ends of the mattress? Have you been able to make it 10 years, 20 years, 30 years, or even 50 years into a marriage without ever going to bed angry or being resentful towards your spouse. If you have, please step forward and claim your prize, because you are king of the Jenga set right now, and I will give this to you right now. Because if you've gone 50 years without being resentful towards somebody, you're probably not even human. We joke in our household that 90% of our arguments end when we get sleep or cheeseburgers. Anger is a real emotion, people. So if you're in an argument, the first step I say is get in your car and go to McDonald's and then talk afterwards, all right? If that doesn't work, then you can call your pastor after that. But in cases when we're hot about something, or resentment lingers and we're just upset and we're frustrated and we want to take an emotional action, sometimes sleep or food can be very, very helpful. It allows us, at the very least, to take some space to approach the problem that we are facing as a couple and be focused on the solution rather than being blame-oriented. When we're blame-oriented, we're not very good to anyone. Sometimes fixating on a problem is not always the best solution. And I think what we have in this scripture is some much more realistic advice in the beginning of this passage that I think is much more helpful to us in our relationships. This is the beginning before that verse. Listen to this phrase: be angry, but do not sin. That's Ephesians 4:25. Be angry, but do not sin. That's much more practical. Because guess what? It's not a sin to feel anger. That's a real emotion. God gave that to you. You don't need to be ashamed if you get upset, but it is a sin when we let our anger dictate our actions and emotion. It is a sin when we use our anger to harm others emotionally and physically. So that is why psychologists recommend that when we feel angry, we should slow down, take some deep breaths, count to 10, think before we speak, and focus on solutions rather than blame. And if you're not able to do any of those things, get some exercise. Take your dog for a walk. Come back at it a little bit later so that your anger does not become in control of the situation. And ignoring or brushing off our anger can oftentimes feel just as bad as fixating on our anger. It doesn't lead us to a solution. It leads us to resentment. Moravians were notorious for that, for pushing our anger aside. When we see somebody upset, what do? We offer them a sugar cake, or we offer them whatever cake we have in front of us to try to get past it, because we don't want to deal with it. We don't want to deal with it. We have to keep communicating, because it's so important to keep that conversation going. And I think this scripture could not come at a better time for us as a congregation, because many changes will happen during this fall and winter that involve COVID and COVID policies, not just in the church, but in schools, in grocery stores, and other places. And as we've shared before, there's times we're going to make decisions that people agree with us, and there's times we're going to make decisions that people disagree with us. But keep talking. Keep talking to your leadership. Keep talking to the people you care about. Don't close the door of communication with people, because that's letting anger win. When you just storm out, take your ball, and you go play someplace else. We need to stay in relationship with one another, especially as we celebrate August 13th, a very important holiday for Moravians. And the other aspect of this is this is important in our faith walks with God. We are all human, so we all experience anger with God at one point or another. Anger, believe it or not, can actually be a sign of faith in God. From the TV show House, Dr. House said something very pointedly that always stuck with me when he had an agnostic patient that just kept cursing up and down about how terrible God is. And he looked his patient dead in the eye and he said, "You can't be angry at something you don't believe in. You can't be angry at something you don't believe in." Wow. And I think we hear that in the story of Job. We all know that story where Job is smited by God. And Job often gets angry with God in this story. Who wouldn't? I mean, you would have to be non-human to not get angry with God if you were being smited. In fact, what does Job do in his story? He literally takes his fist and he shakes it up at God with raging and upset anger. And the interesting thing about that is when Job does that, God doesn't strike him down. God doesn't punish him right in that moment. God doesn't even hold a grudge towards Job. And he leaves Job to a very prosperous life after he gets through this dark valley in his life. God rewards Job for staying in constant communication with the Almighty. He kept talking to God even in the dark moments. So whatever anger you are holding on in this life, whatever resentment that you have inside yourself that is sitting beneath the surface, let it go. Because Christ is willing to absorb that from you. Christ is willing to take that on. That is why he is the eternal bread of life. Keep communicating and building that relationship with Jesus. So let's think about that as we very soon are about to take the Lord's invitation to the table, to the Holy Communion table. And I want you to come to the Lord's table knowing that there are times in your life that God will be upset with us, and there are times in your life when we are going to be angry and resentful towards God. Yet no matter how many times we shake our fist, we rage, we get upset with God, the arms of our Savior will remain forever outstretched and ready to embrace us. So on this day, let us commit ourselves to keep talking and walking with God on our faith walk. Because there are times we will get scared, there are times we will get angry, there are times we won't understand what's going on. But God will be there with his outstretched arms, waiting to embrace and invite us all. Amen. Let's pray. Gracious God, we come before you and we take heart to your lesson today. That it is okay for us to feel anger, but we should not sin with that anger. We should not let that anger control us. We should let your leadership, your guidance, your mercy, and your love be the guiding promise for each and every one of us. So help us to focus on letting go of our anger and our resentment as we come to your table today, each of us invited. So thank you for imprinting mercy and love on our hearts and making sure that the anger of the world will never get the last word. In your blessed and gracious name we pray. Amen. We'll now take some time to listen to our communion preparatory hymn and prepare our hearts and our minds for Holy Communion. prepare our hearts and our minds for Holy Communion. I remind each of you as we prepare ourselves for Holy Communion that this is an opportunity for us to celebrate God's love and God's grace. The Moravian Church practices an open communion table. All who welcome God's love in their hearts are welcome here. And it seems fitting that today we have many of our ecumenical brothers and sisters with us, because August 13th for Moravian is a celebration of when the Holy Spirit came down on them and reminded them that no denomination was bigger than God, but it was our combination as beloved disciples listening to Christ Jesus that leads us to powerful discipleship. So any of you that do not feel comfortable with Holy Communion, you may remain seated when I come to your row. There's no issue with that whatsoever. Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all.
Amen. Thanks be to God.
Please stand and extend the right wave of fellowship. Hearts, asking that you forgive us for what we have done and what we have not done. We have not loved our neighbor as ourselves. We have not loved you as we should. And still, you blot out all of our transgressions and remind us that it is your mercy and not your judgment that defines each and every one of us. So as we come to this table, help us to hold that mercy in our hearts. May we now pray together the prayer that you taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." You may be seated.
Thank you.
Jesus Christ said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you." By your divine presence, by the holy sacraments, by all the merits of your life, suffering, death, and resurrection, in the same way after supper, our Lord Jesus Christ took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sin. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me." You may be seated. Please rise. Our Lord Jesus Christ said, "Drink from this, all of you. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me." Christ, the Lamb of God, you take away the sin of the world. Extend the right wave of fellowship. Unto you, the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. You may be seated, brothers and sisters. But before you go, we have a special surprise for you. Normally, this is where we conclude worship. By our own Chloe Martin wanted to share a special song with you before she heads off to West Virginia University this coming week. So we rejoice in getting to hear from her and getting to hear some music. And for those of you watching on video, I'm not crying. It's just my allergies are scheduled for 11:35 on Sunday. So go ahead, Chloe.
As you mentioned, I am leaving for college next Saturday, and I just wanted to dedicate this song to all of my church family. So thank you so much for guiding me through all my life. I'm so thankful for each and every one of you.
our wishes are with you as you head to West Virginia. Thank you all for joining us for worship. May God's light and love continue to radiate through you and with you. Go in peace.